Lord, we're just so thankful for your incredible heart for us. We can run to you when we're hurting. We can run to you when we're tired. We can run to you when we're just confused or walking through a hard time. We can run to you, Father. We can receive your grace. We can receive your strength and your help in our time of need. You've invited us even to come boldly before your throne of grace in prayer. Cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Find that hope that we need in our time of need. And church, he is the God of revival. Revival just really simply means just an acceleration of the work, the normal work of the Holy Spirit, where he begins to convict and begins to draw people and begins to work, and it always starts in individual hearts. May our hearts be the first to say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I want all of you. Lord, forgive me where I've been complacent. Forgive me where I've sinned, where I've fell short, where I need to make things right. May our hearts be in a posture of revival, a posture of longing for God, of wanting his presence more than anything this world has to offer. God, come and meet us in these days. And don't be surprised, church, if there's not a, what we sometimes refer to as a winnowing, a separation, if you will. We really begin to see who's clinging to Christ, who's making him Lord of all, who's desperately in love with him and won't let go of him for anything. Lord, we want to be that kind of people, longing for you, putting you first in all things. In Jesus' name.
The word talks about that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. You know, and I just want to really encourage you, if you are struggling at all with fear, a sense of powerlessness, of being unloved, or of being confused. And I understand that right now in the world that we're living in. But you know, God isn't, that's not God. That's a spirit of fear, and I want to encourage you, shake that off. You know, God has called us to walk in faith. God has called us, and what does that look like in your life? I just want to encourage you to get in the Word of God. Find the scriptures that speak to your heart. It says that the entrance of his word, the word, brings light. It brings light to us. So I want to encourage you to come against that spirit of fear if you're struggling with that. And, you know, the other day I went to a nail salon. I was telling them in the earlier service, and I sat there. It's just unbelievable all the different things that you have to, you know, deal with now, mask, and they used to talk to you, and now they barely talk to you, and they barely talk to each other, and there's such a lack of connection. And I sat there behind plastic, you know, and I'm like, wow, this is interesting. And then the news is on, how many people have died now, and I'm just like, oh my goodness. It's really hard not to feel overwhelmed and not to have a fear come over you and like run away and lock yourself behind a door, you know. And and I just want to encourage you this morning, don't let that happen. Worship the Lord in your home. I just asked the Lord, I said, save people, save people. Today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
People need Jesus.
Yes.
People who are on the fence need to get off the fence. People who have walked away from the Lord, today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
And I just want to encourage you, don't let the enemy try to lock you behind closed doors and be intimidated. Now is the time that God will open doors. Pray for that and then speak out the truth. Speak it out to people. Don't allow fear to intimidate. That's what fear does. Intimidates, shuts us up. You know, it makes us hide. That's not who God has called us to be. And I just want to encourage you. It looks different for everybody. I understand it's okay. Not everybody's an extrovert. We have introverts too, and Jesus uses them too. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm one of them. And I just want to encourage you. God has given you a voice in this time. And those of you that are watching, you know what? Today is the day of salvation. If you've walked away from the Lord, turn back to God. Tell him that you need him. Ask him to come back into your heart. You know, God is doing miracles. He is the same God that does miracles today. I know that where we are in the world seems crazy, but I'm telling you, God has never changed. He's never changed. He still brings miracles. He still brings breakthrough. We are called to be light in this darkness. And boy, is it dark at times. But God has never changed. The light of who he is has never gone out. And we carry him with us. Just want to encourage you. He is with us. Just have boldness. Ask the Lord what needs to look like in your life. Don't allow the enemy to put you in fear. Because God is with us. He's going to show us what to do. He is faithful. So, Father, we love you this morning. And we thank you, God, that you have not given us a spirit of fear. We are loved. We are empowered. And we have the peace of God. We have a sound mind. We come against fear in the name of Jesus. We come against intimidation. Yes. We come against confusion. Yes. We come against rejection. We come against anything that the enemy would do to try to sit us down and shut us up. Lord, show us. God, show us how to be your hands and feet in this world, in this situation. Yes. Father, there were, in the times of persecution, you know, people were catching babies over the wall, Lord. You showed them what to do as Christians. What do we do in this time? I'm not going to sit on my hands. I'm going to worship you, and then I'm going to be led by you. I'm going to say what you need me to say. I'm going to do what you called me to do. Yes. I'm going to figure out a way to love people.
Yes.
I don't know how to do it, God, but you can show us how to do it.
Yes.
You can show us what to do.
Yes.
Father, you can show us, God, how to love people, how to encourage people, how to be this light in this time right now. For such a time as this, you have called us, Father, to step into what you called us to do. Father, we come against the enemy. We say no in the name of Jesus. Father, we're going to be people. We're going to be faithful to what you've called us to do, to carry your light into dark places. Because, God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You still do miracles. You still bring breakthrough. And we believe you this morning. We will posture ourselves in a posture of believing you, of faith, and not fear. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, can you rejoice with us this morning? Let's go ahead and rejoice in God's goodness. Amen, amen. Before you're seated, turn around and give somebody an air high five, a germ-free smile, welcome them. Shout at them across from the social distance, whatever you need to do.
Thank you so much for coming.
Welcome to New Song.
It's so good to be in the house of the Lord and to be with each other, isn't it? Really and truly, to see you all. I just am so grateful, even if it's behind a mask. There's something about gathering in the presence of the Lord. You know that he is here and he is faithful. So thank you for coming. And those of you on, you know, that can't come, we just love you too. We just really appreciate you coming and as far as tuning in and being with us that way.
Did you see my cool new mask?
I see that. That's interesting.
My mask has a world vision. I
love
it.
It's very large. It's very large.
Thank you, Janine, for that, by the way. It's very large.
It's very large and protective. But I like it because it's got a mask. I mean, it's got maps on it.
I know, right?
Globes. It's very cool. It looks like
that, too. Well, welcome, everybody. We're happy you're here. If you're joining us online, thank you for joining in today. You're part of this family, and we love you. So we want to welcome everybody this morning, and remind everybody that even in the midst of the challenging days we're living in, we're still supporting all of our missionaries, all of our ministries through the Harvest Project. We've not pulled back at all on that.
Praise
and
the
thank
Lord.
The Lord we haven't had to because of God's faithfulness through his people. So we had the Jim Foundation here a couple of weeks ago. It was amazing. If you don't know about them, look them up. That is amazing what they're doing. So we're not receiving a traditional offering. We're doing it primarily online, or you can drop it in the buckets as you leave. But if you're watching, you can give online. Thank you for your faithfulness in that. So let's pray. Father, bless the gift and the giver today. Thank you for the opportunity to give. Lord, it is really a part of our worship. It's a part of our dedication of our hearts to you, Lord. It's a tangible expression of the fact that we trust you and love you. So Lord, bless the gift and the giver, and Lord, bless our ministries and our missionaries all over the world in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you as you give today. Tell us about our Devo and our kids thing, honey.
You know, I really appreciate it. Every morning you get up and you do a new song, daily devotion, and from our reading. And it's always encouraging, isn't it? So I encourage you all to read that and to just join with us on that. That is on our Facebook page and our group page. Mm-hmm. And then this summer, we had a kids' summer fun day which we are now moving to August the 22nd. So be in prayer about that and be ready. I think there might be water games. I may need to go out there while you're preaching and be a part of that.
Oh, okay. I don't think I'm preaching at that. But anyway, hey, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, and yesterday, what about yesterday? Wasn't that something?
That was so fun.
We got to officiate a wedding yesterday. Yes. Out at the lake where yep. Pastor Bert and Miss Carla live. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely beautiful and sweltering hot, I might add. 3 o'clock in the day. We chose the coolest time of the day.
Exactly.
No, I'm just kidding. It might have been the hottest time of the day.
I think so.
But, honey, it's the first wedding I've had the opportunity to do in shorts and a polo shirt.
Yes.
And believe me, because of the weather, I was very, very thankful. I know this is terribly gross, but I looked down at one point and I saw sweat pouring down my legs. But it was wonderful. And
I don't know about that.
Mario and Karen got married, and we're excited for Mario and Karen.
Yes, and it was fun.
Blessings
on them.
And they
were all barefoot. They were barefoot. That was the first wedding that you had, like, almost, I think the whole party was barefoot, except for you.
Except me.
Yes.
Yes.
I was barefoot. I got to pray. And see, you don't know this, but there's a hill right here, and I wore these shoes, and my friend, Miss Dawn, said, you know, you might need to tuck those off, because, you know, you don't want to be, like, rolling down the hill into the water right
there.
That
would have been interesting, huh?
And it was on a dock, by the way. The dock moved.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, I thought about going barefoot, but I was afraid I would blind the wedding party.
He's got the whitest feet, I'm just telling you.
So I thought, you know, maybe we won't do that.
You need some sun on those very, very white feet.
Nobody fell in. For my first wedding on a dock, and I've done a beach wedding. I've done a couple of weddings on the banks of the Ohio River, but my first on a lake on a dock.
Well, you know what? And what was really
good.
Fun, the bride and groom, after they were, you know, we did the pronouncement, they took, both of them had rods.
Yeah, that was
And they
fun.
Both threw casts in
they,
the, I had to move. I'm
they
like,
were
oh.
serious.
Yeah, they were.
Serious,
I was kind
too.
Of afraid of the, they might hook me on
it
that.
It was a little scary, you know. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, my dad, we were out on a boat and Kentucky Lake fishing, and my dad was in the front of the boat, and I was kind of, you know, toward the back of the boat. It wasn't a huge boat, so you can't get too far from each other. But my dad, he was really into it, you know, and he was just casting, and he had a what we called a shyster on there, honey, and he didn't look. He reared back like that, and his bait caught me right there in the eye.
And it set.
And he, you know, went to throw that out, and nothing went out. He was like, what happened? And turned around, and he hooked a really big one, and and it took some doing to get unhooked from that. We had to pull the pliers out of the tackle box. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just a lot of fun fishing there.
Fishing is a lot of fun.
It's a wonder. I still love fishing after that, but I do. I absolutely do. Hey, check this out. The Adventures of Pastor Bert and Miss Carla.
Yep.
Here they are. This is just this weekend, in fact. Mm-hmm. They went to a part of Kodiak Island where the big bears are.
Yeah, that's not a buffalo.
This is not a buffalo. This is a Kodiak bear, and they're in Alaska. This is a bear print. Mm-hmm. If I came on that in our backyard, honey, I'm not sure what I'd do.
I don't know either.
But Pastor Bert fishing, catching some salmon.
Oh,
and they spotted several bear yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, but they are alive and well, and they send their greetings and their love to all of you.
They'll be back soon.
So, we're excited about that. Yes. All right, well, thank you, honey. Very much. Give my wife a good hand. I sure appreciate her. We're going to continue our series today. This is part two in a new series we're calling Choose Joy. So check out this little video. So we are choosing to choose joy in these challenging days that we are living in, and it's a choice that I think we have. Hey, by the way, as I start today, because I know things feel overwhelming to a lot of people in this day and time and all that we're walking through and dealing with, so I got a question for you this morning. What in the world do you do if you get swallowed by an elephant? What in the world do you do if you get swallowed by an elephant? Because it can feel that way in the days that we're living in, you know, just overwhelming, difficult, big challenges, unforeseen, you know, something we never expected. So I got the answer for you. If you get swallowed by an elephant, here's what you do. You just keep walking. It's not a lot of, room to walk, but you just keep walking. You just keep walking. You just keep walking till you get pooped out. I mean, that's what you do if you get swallowed by an elephant. So keep that in mind. But this morning, I want to share something with you about choosing joy. And this is prophetic. Some of you love the prophetic. This is prophetic about Jesus and his ministry. And it's powerful. And I want you to see it this morning, a very particular part of Isaiah 61. In Luke 4, he's going to pick up the scroll from Isaiah. He's going to read this at the beginning of his ministry. And some of you haven't realized this is part of the ministry of Jesus. This is part of what Jesus has come to bring you. To give them beauty for ashes. Let me read it this way. To give you beauty for ashes. The oil of joy. Everybody say the word joy. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Jesus has come. Part of his ministry is to give you joy. Part of his ministry. And here's what I feel. I don't know if you feel this, but I certainly feel that there is like a spirit of heaviness in our land, in the United States of America today. You go out into the stores, you can kind of feel it, you can kind of sense it. Tracy sensed it yesterday in the nail salon she was at. There's a spirit of heaviness, and it's not just circumstantial. It's like there's a spirit behind this thing, just weighing people down, causing people to be joyless. It's almost like a joyless epidemic in our land, if you will. But Jesus came to give us the oil of joy. You know what oil does? It soothes and it covers. And Jesus wants to soothe you and cover you in the oil of joy so that regardless of the circumstances that surround you, you can have joy. Now, let me just say this because I got a little bit of feedback last week. It was very helpful for me. Some folks said, what about if there's a scenario where you need, there's a lot of people struggling today and a lot of people need some kind of medical intervention. I am totally in favor. If you have a chemical imbalance, finding the medicine that helps you, at least for a time so that you can work through and deal with the situations and circumstances in your life to help you find joy. But here's one of the challenges I have, even in having to recommend that or to mention that, is that there's oftentimes in our day and age a tendency to over-medicate. And we have to be careful there too, because it's a lot easier sometimes to take a pill than to walk through doing the work and walking things out. It's easy to go with quick over difficult and lengthy. How many of you hear what I'm saying? I'm an advocate for finding help when you need it. But I do want to say to you, you also have a choice, regardless of where you're at, regardless of what you're suffering through. You have a choice to choose joy, and Jesus wants to bring joy. How many of you have been around long enough in Christianity? Remember the old song, I've got the joy, 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 where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. Come on, let's keep singing. Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And that's what I believe Jesus wants for you and I, even in the midst of challenge and difficulty. But you have to choose it. You have to choose joy. Let me show you somebody who chose joy. Who chose it in circumstances that you quite honestly would probably look at and go, there's no choice here. This is too difficult. This is too hard. And let me tell you, things right now that we're living through and living in, and if they potentially get worse, listen, there's still always the choice of joy. Paul in 2 Corinthians 6 lists all these things he walks through because of Jesus in his life. And they're difficult things, folks. This whole Americanized gospel that if you receive Jesus, you're just going to be blessed and life's going to be a bed of roses. No. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be challenges. But take heart, Jesus has overcome the world. And listen, here's the real difference. It's really about if what is on the inside of you is stronger than whatever is on the outside. That's the key. And Jesus wants to bring joy deep inside. Jesus wants to bring contentment deep inside. Jesus wants for you to be able to say, just as that songwriter long ago said, it is well with my soul. Regardless of what's going on, regardless of what's happening in the world. So Paul could say, you know what? Sorrowful, yet always choosing to rejoice. Always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Do you see this is a choice that he's deliberately making? In fact, the most joy-filled epistle of all of Paul's writings in the New Testament is the book of Philippians, where he mentions multiple times, rejoice and joy, rejoice and joy. And he's writing it from a dingy, dark dungeon down in the earth where he's chained. It's a choice. It's a choice. If what is on the inside of you is stronger than what is around you, you can have joy and you can have contentment regardless of what's happening. Can you say amen to that? It's a choice, folks, and we have that choice every single day. But what do you do with a guy like Paul? What do you do with somebody like you and I who continually make the choice to rejoice, who continually make the choice to walk in joy? You know what? If you look at Paul's life, it's amazing, right? Because people would come to him and say, Paul, you stop preaching in the name of Jesus or we're going to throw you in jail. What would Paul's reaction be? Really? That doesn't sound too bad. All right, if you want to, that's fine. No, Paul, you don't get it. You don't understand. You either stop preaching or we're going to cut your head off. What do you think Paul would respond? Oh, really? Well, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So do what you must. It's okay because it is well with my soul. See, the stuff of the world just doesn't stick to a rejoicing, joy-filled person who's chosen to surrender fully to Christ and to walk hand in hand with him. So last week, I told you we're going to go through four choices that you and I have to make that will bring joy. The first choice was prayer, that you and I would always, always, always pray first. Not last, but first. That we would always go to the Lord with whatever anxieties or challenges we're facing. Because let's get real, we will face difficulties, we will face challenges, we will deal with anxiety or worry, but it's what we do with them that makes all the difference. Do you cast them upon the Lord? That's what Scripture says, cast them upon the Lord, throw them to Him so that He can carry them for you. So pray was our first choice. Offload those worries and anxieties to God. Spend time with God every day. Let Him fill you up with His peace and joy every day. And then the second choice that we're going to talk about today is purity. Purity. And I received a book the other day in the mail. It was quite interesting because it was not a book I was expecting. And it was from someone I hadn't heard of. And it was packaged kind of nice. And it was sent to me. And I opened it up. And there was a nice letter in there. And it's from a businessman from Australia. And he's printed these books and sent them to several people around the world. And basically, the title of the book was The Greatest Lie in All of Christianity. And I thought, this is interesting. I'll open it up. I'll at least try to figure out what he's saying, the basis of what he's saying here. And I went to the particular chapter, The Greatest Lie in All of Christianity. And here's what it was, essentially. That you cannot be holy. That today in the world we live in, that people can't truly be holy. That there's been such an onslaught of perversion and all kinds of things that have just permeated our world that we don't even talk about holiness anymore. We don't even talk about purity anymore. Because there's almost this lie that's been accepted that, you know what, we've just been stained by sin. People have just found themselves in a place where, you know, that's too much. That's too high a standard. Well, let me tell you. You can choose joy, you can choose to pray, and you can choose to be holy. In fact, the Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, and holiness is not all a work on our effort. Holiness is a work that God does in us and through us, where He purifies us and makes our heart desire what's good and righteous and not the things of the world. Can I just say to you, the most destructive force in the whole universe is sin. Because sin always gets in there and gets between you and God and cuts off your lifeline to joy and peace and happiness. Here's the problem. A lot of people today, even believers in churches all over America today, have no joy because they're carrying around too much. They've allowed sin back into their lives. They're loaded down with shame, guilt, and condemnation. And let me just remind you, the enemy, the Bible describes him as a thief. He steals stuff from you. God doesn't take things from you. That's been a lie that's been perpetuated from hell for a long time. That, you know what, if you serve God, he's going to steal all the joy out of your life. He's going to take all the fun away. No, the devil's the one that takes things away. The devil's the one that steals things. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If there's any area of your life where you see destruction or any area in society where you see violence and murder and things happening, listen, the enemy's always behind that. Sometimes you and I forget there's an enemy behind that equation. It's not necessarily the people that we should blame or react to. It's the enemy behind that is manipulating and working in so many ways. Some of us even believe the lie that heaven's just going to be a boring place sitting around on a cloud playing a harp. No way. It's going to be the most amazing, thrilling, fulfilling thing you've ever experienced. The devil's a cosmic killjoy, folks. He is a cosmic killjoy who's always looking to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know what he will steal from you if you let him? Your joy. Your joy. Psalm 32, I love this psalm. Blessed. You know what blessed means? Happy. Happy's the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Happy is the one whose sin the Lord doesn't count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, when I didn't confess my sins, when I allowed sin to come back into my life, my bones wasted away through groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord. Be glad. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. I want you to notice that one of the keys to having joy is confession, is absolutely making sure you're getting sin out where sin has snuck in or tried to come in to your life in any way, shape, or form. Because sin kills our lives. It pollutes. It separates. It divides. It will come in and pollute not just you, but then others, your job, your friends, your parents, everything in your life. Psalm 73, verses 18 and 19 say, surely you place them on slippery ground. Now listen, I'm talking about sin on both sides of the equation. There's some of you who've never received Christ, and you need your sins forgiven. There's others who've received Christ, and you have fell back into the rut of living by your sinful nature. And there's no fruit in that. There's no blessing in that. There's separation and divide in that, because sin always kills. It places us on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. The other day I was watching some TV with my kids, and they recommended a new show that I hadn't seen yet. Maybe some of you have seen it. It was quite interesting. It's called Floor is Lava. Floor is Lava. I thought, wow, what an interesting name for a show. And essentially, it's like a game show, and people have to figure out how to get from one side of the room to the other over all kinds of obstacles without falling into the lava. Okay, and obviously, it's not real lava, thank God, right? But it looks like it. It's bubbling up, and it looks like it's really hot. But what's interesting, I only watched one episode, but several people fell into the lava to their ultimate death. No, not actually. They fell in, and later in the show, they reappeared. So I think it was kind of harmless lava. But let me just say, when you start allowing sin, sinful patterns, sinful practices, whatever it is, to come back into your life, you're on slippery ground. And this is a time, I really feel, this is a time where God is calling his people to get serious. Where we need to be very, very thoughtful about where we are in our walk with God. See, sin destroys our identity. Psalm 38, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear, and I'm bowed down and I'm brought low. Here's what I believe. You can't be guilty and happy at the same time. You can't be guilty and happy at the same time. Because the guilt's going to overweigh the happiness. You need to get that out. Whether you're a person who hasn't trusted Christ and you need the freedom of forgiveness and becoming a new creation in Christ, man, that is a relief. That is a wonderful thing. Or if you're a Christian who has allowed sin to come back in. Paul talks about a carnal Christian who's following the ways of the world, who's fell back into the habits and the patterns of a sinful life. You know, by the way, repent is a positive word. It's a really positive word. Let me show you what repent means. Here, I'm just going to do a little demonstration here for you, okay? So I'm going this way, right? I'm going this way. And this way really represents me going after my own desires, me doing my own thing, me making my choices, me being kind of Lord of my life. Yeah, I've accepted Christ, and yeah, you know, I go to church, but yeah, I kind of watch some things I shouldn't, and I look at some things I shouldn't, and I talk to some of my family members in ways that I shouldn't, and when I go to work, sometimes I fudge things a little bit, and man, when tax time comes around, I don't answer everything quite the way I should, and you know, somebody cuts me in line, and boy, do I ever have something to say to them, and you know, but here's what happens. I'm going this way, and I keep hitting these doors. I keep hitting these brick walls. I keep feeling not really fulfilled. I keep feeling kind of empty on the inside. I keep feeling frustrated, and I'm upset. Life's just not working the way it's supposed to. And then all of a sudden, I come to my senses, and I go, okay, you know what? I need to repent. Here's what it means to repent. Oh, wow, here's a whole new path. I'm going to walk this way now. This way, I'm spending time with God. This way, I'm surrendering to Him my selfish desires, my sinful desires. I'm asking Him to reveal to me the things in my life that are not pleasing to Him. I'm receiving His joy. I'm receiving His love. I'm receiving His happiness. How many of you can say amen to that? That's what repentance is. Turning from our sinful ways, turning to God's blessed ways. It's just to turn, to change your mind. Let me give you some daily choices here. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. I love this. Now repent of your sins, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Man, I tell you what I want for you so bad. As your pastor, is times of refreshment for your soul. Times of refreshment from God where you are experiencing His presence. You are enjoying the goodness of God. You are living a life that is fulfilling and satisfying. Look at Psalm 32. I love this. This is so powerful. What happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joy when sins are covered over. What relief for those who've confessed their sins and God's cleared their record. Look at those three words, happiness, joy, and relief. Listen, folks, it doesn't come from your possessions. It doesn't come from your material wealth. It doesn't come from your achievements. Man, having a free, liberated soul where on the inside you can feel good about yourself because God has forgiven your sins. That's where deep contentment and peace and joy come from. Knowing, just like that hymn writer of long ago, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. So let's look at some choices out of Psalm 51, one of the most powerful psalms in all of Scripture on repentance is Psalm 51. Some of the very first sermons I ever preached as a young man out of Psalm 51, just powerful stuff. Psalm 51:2, wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. See, when I follow my sinful nature, I personally know where it tends to go. And I have no problem whatsoever being confessional about this because maybe it helps others. But here's what I know about myself, and my wife knows about me. I mean, I'm just being real. Let's just keep it real in the house. Amen? If I don't spend time with God, if I don't walk in the Spirit, if I default to my old sinful nature, which, let's just be honest, that's a well-worn path from my past, and you've got one too. You know, here's what I know about myself. I get really impatient. I can be a really impatient person. I've told you some of this, you know. I mean, I'm the guy that gets in line at Kroger, and I count how many's in each line, and then I will move from one line to the other to try to get to the shortest line because I'm impatient. And then if my line gets stalled and your line gets ahead of me, I'm really upset. I don't know. It's just something that kind of comes natural to me. Maybe it's a leadership inclination. I don't know, but I get impatient. And then let me tell you where that impatience leads. To anger. And then guess where it goes from there? To a critical spirit. Man, that's a well-worn path for me. I know about me that if I default to that sinful nature, that's right where I'll go every time. I've got to make a choice to walk in the Spirit. I've got to make a daily choice to put to death my old sin nature, to let the Lord wash me and cleanse me, to let God fill me up. It's ugly stuff, and I know it is. And, you know, don't judge me. You guys got your own too, okay? So let's get honest about it, okay? Romans 8, chapter 12, or verse 12. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. Now, you'll still go to heaven, but man, there's going to be not a lot of fruitfulness in your life. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. I want you to notice he's talking to Christians. This isn't about heaven and hell. This is about the quality of your life on earth. This is about whether you're going to be defined. Listen, the greatest argument for Christians in this world is Spirit-filled Christians living by the life of Christ. The greatest argument against Christianity, I hear it all the time, hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites. The greatest argument against Christianity is carnal Christians living through the power of their flesh. And they don't look any different than the people of the world. They're not more honest at work. They're not more caring. They're not more compassionate. And you can just go right on down the list. They don't look any different because they're over here living in this well-worn rut of their sinful nature instead of living by the power of God's Spirit. Can I get an amen? You guys are awfully quiet this morning. Make a daily choice. Secondly, daily release my past and take another step toward freedom, another step toward freedom. Tracy and I went to a great freedom appointment the other day with our dear friends Doug and Beth, and you know what? It was good. It was good for me. I needed to focus in on some things. I needed to pray through some things. It was another step toward freedom. Every one of us, if we're honest, we're all works in progress that Jesus is working on. Amen? Or at least we should be. And if we don't think that, we need to look in the mirror. Psalm 51 says, cleanse me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Man, it's so important that we let go of our past, that in our daily time with God, listen, in my daily time with God, here's one thing that's pretty consistent and regular. In my time with God, God points out things in my life that he'd like to bring change to. In fact, guess what? I even invite him to do that because I know he's a loving father. I know he's not going to condemn me. He loves me enough. He's not going to let me stay the way I am. He's got better for me. So I invite him, and I even ask, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, just illuminate things in my life where you still want to tweak, you still want to change. There's stuff that still needs to get out of me. And then you know what he also does? He brings good friends into my life who help me in those areas, those blind spots I can't see and I can't spot. James 5:16 says this, and I love it. Make this your common practice. Notice those words. Your common practice. I'd really wonder how many of us this is a common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. This is why groups, small groups are so powerful. Why everybody needs to be a part of a small group. I can't wait till fall. I'm envisioning that we're going to do whatever we can to make sure there's small groups for everybody to be involved in, whether they're over Zoom or outside where you can socially distance or inside with social distancing, whatever. But you and I need groups because we need each other. The church is a gathering body. We're supposed to, the Bible says, as the last days come, as the days of the end come near, we're to meet together all the more. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen? We're to come together more and more because we need each other. We need each other to get sin broken and out of our lives and to continue to press in and be the people God's called us to be. Number three, we need to daily pursue God's plan for our life. Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. I love these words, create in me, Lord, a sense of destiny. Create in me, Lord, a sense of purpose. Create in me what all can come when my heart is pure before you, where you can begin to do your work in and through me. Here's one of my daily prayers before the Lord, and it's very simple. I just say, Lord, let my life count for you. Let my life count for you, and I'll go a step further and say, God, I don't want my life to just simply be about what I can do, because I pretty much know what Jeff Lamont can do. It's a donut with the rim kicked off. It's a big fat zero. In fact, Scripture says it this way, you and I can, without him, we can do nothing. That doesn't mean I can't do things. I can, but they're not of eternal value. I want my life to be about something bigger. I want my life to be something that brings glory and honor to Jesus. I want him moving and working through me. I want to be crucified to Christ so that Christ lives in and through me. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. There's a lot of that going on, believe me. There's a lot of pressure even in our young people's hearts and lives to copy the behaviors and customs of this world. But look what Paul says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Oh man, that's what I want. Listen, go through the growth track and we offer it again. Join a small group. Discover what God has for you. Because on the other side of that is joy, joy, joy down in your heart. Down in your heart. Number four, daily live a life that impacts others. I just was sharing with a sister a few minutes ago and she said, man, I was in a store and got talking to the person that was checking me out. And the person that was checking around at the cash register said, man, this world's just gone crazy. I don't know what to think. And the lady went out and got a tract, came back in and said, you know what, man, Jesus loves you. God cares for you. And he has a plan for you. And he can show you the way in these difficult times. We need to be living lives that impact others. Look at Psalm 51 here in verses 12 and 13. I love this because it takes a little turn and it's interesting. David is asked to be washed and asked to be cleansed. Now he says, restore to me. After having been washed and cleansed, now restore to me the joy of your salvation. The joy of your salvation. Man, if we're saved, if we're God's people, if we're his kids, we ought to have a joy because our sins have been forgiven and there is utter relief in that. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Do you notice those words? Then I will. In other words, when we get cleansed, when we get washed, when we are purified in his presence, when we get sin out of our lives and he restores us, then he's got something for us to do. You are restored to restore others. To help others find the way. Listen, we need to learn to live the best version of ourselves in Christ, to be everything he wants us to be. So I'll end with this. Joy is more than a feeling, folks. Joy is a way of living. A way of living that is fully surrendered to Christ. Amen? So we close today. The worship team's coming, and we're going to sing a special song over you today that I think is going to bless your soul. While they come, though, would you bow your heads, close your eyes? I want to pray for you today. Maybe there's some of you watching today on Facebook or YouTube, and quite honestly, you've never made a commitment of your life to Christ. I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now, where you are, your living room, bedroom, wherever it is. Just sincerely pray these words with me. Say, "Dear God, I need you. Forgive me of my sin and make me new, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And teach me how to live for you from this day forward in Jesus' name." And listen, if you pray that, God heard you. And touch in with us. Let us know. You can even let us know right there online. We want to help you. We want to walk with you. For the rest of us that are watching and that are here in the room, Lord, I pray right now, if there's sin that's entered in any corner of our lives, help us not to rationalize, help us not to make excuses, but help us to soberly evaluate if there's anything that's come in and get it out before you, to get that sin out, to confess that to you, to receive your forgiveness, to receive fully your life. And thank you, Lord, for the joy that's in your presence. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.